Welcome back. You're listening to Cross the Border. We're going to continue here in the book of Romans. And Paul, spending a lot of time trying to explain a mystery. You know, I recall reading from the Gospels when Yahshua, Jesus, was speaking in parables to the crowds, and the disciples came to him, and they said, "Why do you speak to the people in parables?" And he said, "It is not given to them to understand the mystery of the kingdom of heaven." He said, "But unto you it is given." And then he explains the parables to them, piece by piece. What we have here is Paul trying to explain a mystery. And I'll tell you, anyone outside coming in, if you have not the Spirit of our Heavenly Father living in you, if you have not received the newness of life, if you're not walking in His kingdom, Paul can explain in a volume twice the size of the entire scripture, and you still won't get it. As a matter of fact, the more he explains, the more confused you will be. And so sometimes a mystery just needs to be understood by the Spirit of God, His Spirit bearing witness with our spirit that something is true. It's like the mystery of the virgin birth. Many people may not understand why the virgin birth or how it happened or why it needed to happen, but they know it's true because the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, His Holy Spirit bears witness with their spirit that it is the truth and that it is important. So, mystery. You know, whether we understand it or not, sometimes we just know what's right. Like, we know that it's right, that we are not under the law because we've been crucified in Christ, because we have entered into His death and resurrection, and our sins are covered by His blood. So we know that we are not under the law, that we are free from it. But at the same time, we know that we're not free to continue in His kingdom and practice unrighteousness and lawlessness, because His kingdom does have a law. And He wrote His laws down in the book. And the Messiah proclaimed several times Himself that the reason that He gave us the law and the prophets was to teach us how to love God and to love our neighbors ourselves. Because a lot of people, even in the world, well, they say, well, the highest law is to love your neighbors yourself. But then it's up to them to decide what is loving their neighbor. And see, that's the problem. And that's why the loving God comes first. Because in His law and in His word, He teaches us how to love our neighbor properly. So if we don't do it His way, then it's not really love. It's usually selfishness disguised as love. And that's the kind of love that the world has. You know, it's like them out there stealing all these children from good Bible-believing people. They think that's their idea of love. That's right, but it's not God's idea of love, because they don't love God first. So we have to get it in order. Love God, that's the greatest commandment, He said, and the second is like unto it, love your neighbors yourself. He said, think not that I have come to destroy the law. No, no way. Paul said, we establish the law through faith. He said, on these two, and that is love God and love your neighbors yourself, on these two hang the law and the prophets. What does that mean? That if you don't have the law and the prophets, you don't know how to love God and love your neighbors yourself. If you read through the Old Testament, that it's demonstrated time and time again, you learn how to love God and how to love your neighbors yourself. But like I said, the wicked will not understand. The unregenerate will never understand the mystery of the kingdom of heaven. They will look at the words and they will see whatever the evil tempter desires them to see. Whoever controls their mind, whether it's, you know, whatever name they call it, whatever wicked spirit controls their mind, he will control what they see. So the wicked will never understand, but the righteous will understand. And he gives freely to them that ask him. So we'll continue in Paul's unraveling of the mystery of walking in this kingdom, walking in that position of entering into, by faith, the death and resurrection of the Messiah. But sin, taking occasion by the commandment, wrought in me all manner of concupiscence, for without the law sin was dead. For I was alive without the law once, but when the commandment came, sin revived, and I died. And the commandment which was ordained to life, I found to be unto death. So the law condemns us, and it leads us to repentance. For sin, taking occasion by the commandment, deceived me, and by it slew me. Wherefore the law is holy, and the commandment holy, and just, and good. And I say that one a lot. Wherefore the law is holy, and the commandment is holy, and just, and good. His law is holy, and just, and good. Was then that which is good made death unto me? God forbid. But sin, that it might appear sin, working death in me. Did you get that? Do you understand that? Was then that which is good, the law, made death unto me? God forbid. See? The law is not death to them, that to us that believe. The law is life. To us that have entered into his death and resurrection, it is our life. It is what we delight in. It's the law of the kingdom of heaven. It's the law of the King of heaven. It's good. It's holy. It's just. So he says, is it now? Is that which is good made death unto me? God forbid. But sin, that it might appear sin. So we use the law that sin might appear. And why would we want sin to appear? Because it worketh death in me by that which is good, that sin, by the commandment, might become exceedingly sinful. See, the law convicts us of sin. And we all have that law. The Holy Spirit convicts the ungodly of sin. And he especially works in his people to convict them of sin. That we might rout it out. That we might walk in that newness of life. So his law, the commandment, is holy, it's just, and it's life to us. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would do, that I do not. But what I hate, that I do. And here you see the conflict that Paul is illustrating, that he's trying to convey an understanding of the conflict that faces all of us that walk in the Spirit. At the same time, dealing with the mortality of a corrupting body of flesh that we dwell in, even in the newness of life, even by grace, having his blood applied to us. So he says, for that which I allow not, for what I would, that I do not, but what I hate, that I do. We've all struggled with that. And see, there should be a struggle. If you're doing something that you hate, well, that's the thing that the Holy Spirit is working on in your life, to work obedience in you, to work out the love of our Creator in you, to try that love, to test that love, to see if that's real, to show you that it is real. These struggles will appear. And in time, new struggles will appear as the old ones abate. And the old ones may pop up from time to time. You know, that's what Paul is expressing here. He says, I do, for what I would do, the good that I would do, I do not. You ever been there? Oh, I wanted to do good, but somehow I didn't. Or I wanted to do that thing, or I had an unction to do something good, but I didn't do it. Why didn't I do it? Perhaps I was dealing with selfishness at the time. Something holding me back in my flesh. And he said, but what I hate, that I do. You ever been there? Well, we all have. If you're walking in the Spirit, if you're walking in the newness of life, if you're living a lifestyle of repentance, being renewed by the washing of the water of his word, then we've all struggled with these things in the flesh. He continues, If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Getting the picture here? Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, and now he clarifies it, that is in my flesh. He's talking about our mortal body. That's right. So let's read it again with that clarification that he adds parenthetically here in verse 18. Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. And we all know, yes, sin does dwell in our mortal flesh, doesn't it? It's this body of death, this body that shall surely die. It's carrying around this death sentence. It has this corrupted gene in it. It's corrupt. It's going to die. But somehow we walk by the grace of God in his kingdom, and before the king, by the grace of God, he looks upon us and he sees us clean, because we are dead to the law, washed in the blood of the Lamb. That doesn't mean that the law is dead, only that we are dead to the law if we continue in his word. Paul continues here, for I know that is in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. Now see, that's why he says the work that he started in us, he will complete it. So there's a work going on. There's a renewing of the mind going on. There is a perfecting. We are continually being perfected. And if we're continually being perfected, if we're continually being renewed, then we see that which is present in us that is not good. For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. For if I do that which I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. And we've all struggled. Every new believer struggles with that. Until we come up to an understanding of, yes, it is a struggle, and that's what Paul's telling us. And no, you're not condemned because you're still struggling and warring against sin in your flesh. The idea is that you are warring against it. And I guess the new ideas out there in the corporate church are that are going to take hold, either that or they're going to lose their corporate status, is that, no, we just accept it. God made us that way. And you know, that's the thing. It's like the homosexual saying, well, I was born a homosexual. God made me that way. Well, yes, we were all born sinful with a death sentence on us. We just accept that? Or do we allow the Holy Spirit to work in us and perfect us and renew our minds and wash us by the watering of the Word and to write His law and His commandments upon our minds and our hearts, that He might be our God and we might be His people? You know, choose this day whom you will serve. And every time we have to choose between good and evil, we make that choice. And that choice can put you right outside of His kingdom if you choose to serve sin. And you continue in it. But if you fall, if you're tempted and you fall, but you get back up and you reach for the Master's hand and you say, oh, I want so bad to not fall. It's sin that dwells in you. Keeps dragging you back. But I'll tell you what. You learn to walk in His walk. You continue in His word. You continue repenting. You continue crucifying the deeds of the flesh, applying the blood of the Lamb to those deeds. You continue, and it will get easier. And you will become perfected. And He will use you in His kingdom. It's His good pleasure to use us. Yahuwah, God, works through His people. That's how He works, through His people. And that's why we don't see so many miracles today, because He chooses, it pleases Him to work through these fragile clay vessels. And I'm glad it does, because I get to sit here and go through His word every day and minister to however many, you know, a dozen, a thousand. I don't have a clue. I really don't care. I'm pleased to be used, and I'm pleased just to be obedient to my Heavenly Father. The results are His, because you know what? He doesn't need me. He could do a miracle. But it pleases Him to work through His people. Aren't you glad? I know I am. I find then, verse 21 of chapter 7, I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me, for I delight in the law of God, after the inward man. Hallelujah! I delight in the law after the inward man. That's my position. Anyone asks me, anyone has any criticism about the law, I'm just going to go to Romans chapter 7, verse 22. I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind. See, he's writing his law in my mind and in my heart. But there's another law in my members, warring against it. That's why we have to continue in his word. He who endures to the end shall be saved. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling. There's a war going on inside of you, and the war is for you. That's right. The war is for your soul. It's the most important war that you have to deal with, is the one that's going on inside of you for your soul. Will you stay in his kingdom? Will you even enter his kingdom? And if you're there, will you stay in his kingdom? There's nothing more important. We need to continue in his kingdom. He is the King of heaven, and I delight in his law. We need to delight in the law of God after the inward man. Even though we see another law in our members, that is our flesh, warring against the law of our mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Yahshua, Jesus, our Messiah. He delivers us, and he will deliver us. His blood will deliver us from this body of death. When this mortality puts on immortality, Paul continues here, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with flesh, the law of sin. Now, take it into context. A lot of people would take this one little verse here and go, oh, well, good. Now my flesh can continue to sin, but in my mind, I'm going to serve the law of God. No, I don't think so. All Paul is expressing here is that our body, because it has sinned, it will die as required by the law. And because our body is corrupt, because we have that corruption inherited from our fathers, and that corruption that we reinforced by sinning ourselves when we walked as other men do, we have to war against that. But our body will die according to the law. But we need to serve the law of God. And we move on to chapter 8 of Romans. Romans chapter 8, verse 1. And he goes, therefore, they add in the authorized King James Version, there is therefore. And you know the saying, whenever you see a therefore, you find out what it's there for. So it means that you shouldn't just open the book to chapter 8 and read. You should read what we just read, because we need to know what the therefore. So this is connected. Like I said, the chapter division is only there for our reference. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Yahshua, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And I've expressed this so many times, how that especially for new people that are new in the faith, and then they're confronted by this war in their flesh, and you know, even the worst sinners may fall into those terrible things that they did, you know, thefts, adulteries, homosexualities, fornication, whatever was your sin of choice or sins of choice in the past. And then you heard the gospel message and it got through to you and the Holy Spirit convicted you and you repented. And you went out and you had a little grace period where you went, wow, the kingdom of God, I'm here and it's beautiful, thank you. Oh, and you feel the love of God. And it seems he always gives us a little grace period and a liberation from the sin that we were walking in. But after a while, we're tempted again with all those things, and guess what? Well, if everyone is like me, they fell, and maybe even fell terribly. And, of course, or maybe some went along and, you know, they struggled for a while, but then some great tribulation came in their life and they took a terrible fall for a long time. Happened to me. Probably happened to you, too. If you're as old as I am in walking in the Spirit for as many years as I have been, and then the tempter comes along and you go, look what you did. God could never accept, holy God could never accept you. You can't even stop sinning. And that's the temptation. And the real temptation underneath that temptation that I just verbalized from the evil one is you really want to keep sinning. Don't you love doing evil more than you love God? You've experienced His kingdom for a while, but isn't sin so much better? You know, just trying to get your eyes off of the prize at the end. And that's what Paul is dealing with here. He's saying, yes, you're going to fall. Yes, you're going to fall into those same things. But get back up. See, a righteous man falls 7 times, but he gets back up every time. So you want to know whether you're righteous or not? Get back up. Doesn't matter how many times you fall. Get back up. 70 times 7. If you fall, get back up. Reach for the Father's hand. He knows what you are. He knows what's in your flesh. And because of this, because of the struggle we have to deal with our mortality and all of the learned behavior from our past that is so deeply ingrained and impressed in our brain, Sir Heavenly Father made us wonderfully. We are wonderfully and fearfully made. The impressions upon our mind are so important from our parents. When you raise up your children, it is so important what they learn from their parents. It is so important to guard their hearts and their minds from the filthiness of this world, because we are fearfully and wonderfully made, and the impressions, those first impressions are in our brain, are so indelible. There are so many things that I have seen that I wish I had never seen. Guard your heart, the hearts and minds and the eyes and the ears of your children as much as you can. Because we are fearfully and wonderfully made, and the first impressions are so important and so deeply ingrained and impressed in our minds. And the more something is practiced, like sin, the harder it is to root out and overwrite and overcome and overpower. Because you know what? Because we are fearfully and wonderfully made, nothing's gone. We may forget some things, but they're still up there in that biological computer, unless we have some brain damage, it's up there. Just thank God we can't access all of it. Thanks be to God. Okay, we'll pick up here in Romans chapter 8 and verse 1 when we get back. You're listening to Cross the Border. My name's Nicholas. Be sure to visit my website, crosstheborder.org. Email me. Put my name, Nicholas, or Cross the Border on the subject line so that I can pick the email out. Don't go anywhere. Stay tuned for the news.